Amen. Welcome to Living Faith Church. If you're visiting for the very first time, let's welcome our first-time guest, second-time guest. Leonard Ziegler is right here on the front row. He has a special gift for you. Like our announcement said, we'd like to give you that gift. We prepared it just for you. We find it an honor that you came to visit. You could have visited any church or been a first-time guest, but you chose our church, so God bless you. I'd like to meet you, and Irma would like to meet you in our cafe when the service is over. We'd find that an honor just to shake your hand today. Living faith is faith that you can see as we gather, as we go, and as we grow today. And so we're a faith that you just don't recognize by the internal, but we see it on the outside today. And so thank the Lord. Amen. Do you have your message notes today? If you need message notes, would you raise your hand? We'll make sure we have those for you ready and available. Anybody need them, raise your hand high. It's okay. 100%, 100%. Awesome. Guys are switching up on sides here. You're fooling me. Usually you're on this side and some of y'all. But we're going to go ahead and still have the same amen on this side that we'd have on this side. How many know this side might need some help today, right? Everybody know? How about the middle row? Who's going to have the best section? Amen. Amen. All right. Good. Nobody bought cheap seats today. Everybody's front row. Give me a good amen. How many are aware that we had an election this last week? Yeah, didn't we? Yeah. Don't necessarily need to control your heart today. And there's one name that wasn't on the ballot, that should have been on the ballot. Because his name wasn't on the ballot, there's still some hope that's needed. How many know that? There's a whole lot of hope that's needed. There's a whole lot of freedom that's still needed because his name wasn't on the ballot. Yeah, and I know that there's division. Some were passionate for, and I don't want anybody to clap or boo or because we're followers of Jesus, first and foremost. Before you're a Republican, before you're a Democrat, amen, you're a follower of Jesus, especially if you're here, right, everybody? You're called Living Faith for a reason today. And so we're passionate for Hillary Clinton, some were passionate for Donald Trump, and many of them just voted so they would outvote the other one, and lesser two evils. Many are going to leave the country now, that's what we hear, right? You can laugh on that one, right? So, and We asked even publicly, is this the best that you have in a great country that would offer these two people up as the final choices? And some of you would say, you know, there's no hope anyway. We're all going to hell in a handbasket, you know, and this nation is. So there's no hope anyway. So election day has come and gone. I want to be remindful that because my Savior wasn't on a ballot and your Savior wasn't on a ballot, that we still need to find our way. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. The Bible says that the lesser two evils, because his name, if your name would have been on the ballot, we would have still need some help. Right, everybody? For all have sinned and come short of the glory, right? So we represent just, we're sinners. How should we respond now that there's going to be a new president in the White House come January? How should we respond as people of faith, even beyond Americans today, because we're in a different nation? I'd like to have a little bit of a take. When we were children, we learned the Pledge of Allegiance. And so we honor our country. We honor the flag today. And so just like we were when we were in elementary school and we learned this pledge, would you stand to your feet just for a moment and put your hand over your heart and recite the pledge with me? I'll lead you. Let's do it on three. One, two, three, go. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. God bless America, everybody. Amen. Yes. Yeah. We have unlimited worship opportunities on Sunday morning during the week because we're an American people. In certain nations, I would be thrown in jail for preaching the gospel this morning. I would have to do it underground in a dark apartment room with hardly any light. And talk real quietly. I couldn't proclaim my voice. You couldn't come to church. You couldn't hold a Bible. But we're free because we're in America. Isn't that great? We just represented that with our veterans today. They fought for our freedom. We have freedom of speech. I can say what I want. I can march however I want. I can boycott if I need to boycott because I have freedom of speech. A veteran bought me that right today. I can start a business because we were born on Judeo-Christian ethics and we can start businesses and create wealth. A lot of countries don't do that. They take over your business. And we have the opportunity of doing that. We can have children. We can have many children. You know, in certain nations, they would stop you from having children. They would say you can have 2.5 or whatever, a half a child. And some of y'all would be in a whole bunch of trouble if that were happening, right? Because you've had a bunch of kids. Y'all can smile at me. Come on. Eh? although I love a name, I wouldn't want to live anywhere else. How about you? But this America is not the center of the universe. We're not even God's favorite nation. Did you know that? Some of y'all thought America's it. No, it's not. We're in a world that, see, for God so loved America, yeah, He also loved the Chinese, and He also loved Mexico, and He also loved Canada, and He also loved Germany, and He also loved Africa. For God so loved the world, He loves everyone today. And I think we get this warped sense that God's an American and He's blonde-haired and blue-eyed, and He was a Jewish man. We're not even God's favorite people, because God has a right to choose, right? Well, Pastor, you said I was God's favorite. Yeah, but God's favorite people are the Jewish people. Those are the apple of His eye. Amen. Those are His nation's Israel. He loves them. Amen. And God has a plan for them. I'm very aware that the nation that I'm going to talk about today is really not the nation of the United States of America. It's the nation that we're called as followers of Jesus, a higher nation. It's the highest nation, the one that the kingdom will never end. It's a holy nation. It's a spiritual nation. I want to explain that to you today, amen. We're followers of Christ. I'm going to defend freedom of speech, but I want to give freedom to the captive today because of the blood of Jesus. I want to have the freedom that whom the Son sets free is free indeed today, amen. That's the biggest freedom that we can have, to be set free from sin, right, everybody? And so the first thought is this, as you look at your message notes with me today, we're not just Americans. We're ambassadors from... We're a heavenly nation. Portfolio, man, you heard about, he was applying for his first job as a teenager. He was going into the movie theater, and he was applying, and the movie theater manager says, you know, I got to interview you before I let you loose to be an usher and take care of the tickets and all that stuff as you take it. He said, what would you do in case of a fire in the movie theater? And Portfolio said, I'd be all right, I'd run out. And the movie theater manager looked at me and said, you know, you're fired. Yeah. You're not even going to get hired today. And I think some of us, when we're asked, what would you do if Jesus was coming back in an hour? We would, I'd be all right. I have fire insurance. I'm going to get to heaven. You're fired. Because the job description of an ambassador is that you take people with you. That if Jesus was coming back in an hour, or there was a terrible fire, that you would go in and redeem all that you could redeem and snatch all those that were perishing, according to Peter, back into heaven. You take as many people as you could to heaven with you. And that's the message of an ambassador. Yeah, you're going to be all right, but how about the rest of us? And how about your neighbor? And how about your loved ones and your sons and daughters today? Amen. We got to help people get out. Don't you know that right now? Yeah. And so 2 Corinthians 5:19 says this, and God has committed us. Are you there with me in your handout? God has committed us, and we're to be followers and believers. God, He's committed you and me. Somebody say me. You're to be a follower of Jesus Christ, the message of reconciliation today. And that's our message. It's not some message that we're preaching about the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. We have a higher message. We have the message of Jesus, that He's a Redeemer and He's come to set people free from their sins today. Verse 20, therefore, as Christ's ambassador, say, I'm an ambassador. And though we are made, He's literally making His appeal, look, I've come to redeem you through us today. An ambassador, the definition is the highest ranking diplomat sent as a representative from one nation to another nation. And so you're an ambassador, really not of this earth, but you're an ambassador sent from heaven, because the Bible calls you an alien, a foreigner. Even though you were born in Fort Sam Houston, 19 whatever, God would say, no, you were born again in heaven. And I sent you to this earth to be an ambassador from one nation to this nation, to let people know that we have a higher king, we have a better kingdom, the kingdom of this world, right, everybody? I'm preaching better than you're saying amen, but maybe you're just warming up here today, amen? And so I need to define it, a highest-ranking diplomat set to as a representative from another nation to another nation, from one nation to another. So you came from heaven to earth today. Why don't you hit your neighbor and say, neighbor? And if you don't do it, I'll call you up here, so you better look at your neighbor. Amen. Say, neighbor, I'm an ambassador sent from heaven to earth. Y'all need to show me some love up here, amen. Nobody looked at me today, amen. Y'all were looking at each other, that's okay. As Christ's ambassador, there are three thoughts that I have about your mission today. And so here we go. Number one is this: you were not elected by people. Aren't you glad? But you were chosen and appointed by God. Yeah, that's a thought that God has a right to choose. He's God. He can choose whoever he wants. But God never stops anybody from entering. It's quiet. Amen. That one sister knows she's chosen. Give me a good. I don't know about the rest of y'all. Y'all can catch up today. And through our prayers, because you're on God's agenda, doing God's will, this is where it happens. Your prayers, God answers, because he's always wanted to give that to you anyway. Because you're doing God's will. And you've been chosen by God and appointed by God. In John 15, 16, on the big screen or on your handout today, it says this: you did not choose me, but you're chosen out of many. And he chose his disciples. He's telling them, and he's telling today, Living Faith, all the disciples and followers of Jesus, he's saying, he's introducing a thought. You ought to be proud that you're chosen by God. Some of us are proud about accomplishments that we've done in the past, or this idea or that idea, and it leads to pride. But there's one thing that you can boast about. I'm chosen by God. I'm appointed by God today, right, everybody? I'm a friend of Jesus. And that's and he's appointed you. And he's appointed you to argue with people on Facebook? No. And argue with people on social media? Or argue with people as you boy? No, he's not called you to do that or appointed you to do that. He said, so you might go and bear fruit that will. Yeah. And the fruits of the Spirit: kindness, joy, self-control, patience, faithfulness, love, amen. Shout out gentleness, amen. Come on, and you're too gentle to even shout that out right today. Amen. This scripture became so real to me because there was one point that I thought, certainly they're going to choose me. Certainly I'm going to get chosen to do that. And I came out of Bible college with a resume, with fire in me, that I couldn't wait to be a pastor. It was always my dream to be a pastor. And so I sent out resume after resume. These were the days before email, and so I was faxing everything in. I was faxing and I was mailing stuff. I probably spent probably $50 on postage looking for a ministry job, and no one called Nava Boy. And you know when they called me, when I said, I'll work for free, you're hired. And I got hired. I remember crying, honestly weeping like a big baby, because I was feeling sorry for myself of not getting hired, not getting chosen. And God spoke to me and he says, Mario, I've chosen you. They may have not hired you. They may have not wanted you to be their children's pastor, their youth pastor. At that moment, that's what I was looking for, to be a youth pastor. He says, but I've chosen you. I've appointed you. And in a season that I have you in, you're going to be chosen to do what I've called you to do. You just keep enduring. You keep going. Don't get depressed, Nava Boy, he told me. Amen. And because of that, I want to turn that back on you today. Because I got messed with, I want to mess with you today. Do you know that you're chosen by God? You're appointed by God today to do that. Nothing else, no one else can do what you're supposed to do with your great anointing, with your passion, with your heart. No one else can sing the song that you can sing today. No one else can preach like you can. Maybe not here, but maybe at your home, or maybe here, maybe one day in a children's ministry class, maybe in an adult Sunday. I don't know, a small group. But you're meant to do something for God. He's appointed. But you don't know what I did last week, or what I did in the dark, or what I did in my past. You know what? It's not public opinion. God's opinion about you is that you are chosen by God and appointed by God. The scripture says that so lovingly, so tenderly, that he has a heart towards you and love towards you. Right, everybody? Are you glad I ate my Snickers bar today before I ate? Yeah, I needed something in my stomach today. Right, everybody? And so you're not elected by the people, you're chosen by God. You have a divine mission that only God has given you today, amen? You're an ambassador of God today. No one else can make the difference that you can in this world but you today, right, everybody? You have an anointing to do that. Number two is this: you're not a regular person. Well, we knew that, right, everybody? You're not, you're not an average Joe. You're a royal priest of our God, yeah. Yeah, wow, wow, backwards, mom. No, wow, wow, upside down, mom, amen. Wow, still wow, amen. Give me a good amen. I love the wow, amen. Wow. Look at 2 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen people, a what? A holy nation, a what? God's special possession, that you may declare his praises of him who's called you out of where? Yeah, into his wonderful light. We celebrate this past month, beloved, the 499th anniversary of Martin Luther. He was the founder of the Lutheran Church, or they based his thing, and he was Holy Ghost at one time. He was he nailed a 95-point thesis on the Wittenberg door, and the Wittenberg door was a religious establishment of that day. And he nailed it as just a statement of what he was about today. And I think we're catching up on 2 Peter, right? Everybody, 1 Peter? Yeah, there we are. So it's going to catch up one day. And so as he nailed that to the door, he left it there so the religious people, the Pharisees of that day, the pastors of that day could come out and read that 95. And when he made a statement on that night, that paperwork that he gave them, and it was simply saying that all believers, just not you guys behind the door, all believers are priests. Can I stretch it? All believers are pastors. All believers have a right. And he called this thing the priesthood of all believers, that he coined that term. The reason why you have a Bible that you're holding on to or on your phone that you're looking at today, and you're not looking at Go Pokemon right now, you're looking at your phone in the right way, the Bible. The reason why you have a Bible is what Martin Luther did that day. Because he said the Bible shouldn't just be in your hands, it should be God's word for all the believers. You guys, everyone should have a Bible or have the Bible exposed so they can read it and they can get it in them today. Aren't you glad he took a stand? And so Martin Luther chose the priesthood of all believers. You're saying, you know, am I a priest? What's this term, pastor? Royal priesthood. That means that you're called to be a pastor where there needs to be a shepherd somewhere. And everyone in this room has a leadership capability of leading people. Men in this room, you're a man of God. You lead your family. You're the high priest of your home. You're a shepherd over your family. You're to speak the words that know. You're an example. You're supposed to be that one, not perfect, but you're supposed to be the one that does the things that leads his people. Look, we've made mistakes, all of us in this room, yours truly. But we still get up and we begin to lead again because that's what a man of God does. Single mom here, or you're the spiritual influencer of your home. You're the priest of your home. Single mom today, you're the priest of your home. You lead people today into the light. Amen. Most don't believe this because when I show up, they say, well, why don't you go ahead and pray, pastor, for the food? And I do that, but I expect you, if I'm going to pray, then you're going to pay for the food today. So you better not ask me to pray. I'm getting a free meal. Give me a good amen. You better be praying at your house, amen, when I come over and eat your good fajitas or arroz con pollo. Give me a good amen, amen. Maybe I didn't eat enough today. Hey, I found something that's better than anything that you could find, vintage TV. Vintage TV isn't Seinfeld. It's not Friends. It's not on Nickelodeon After 10, but it's on TV Land. And if you go to TV, you'll find this show called The Andy Griffith Show. And it's good. I don't get to see it as much unless I go on demand, but there's a show that I grew up on that they would even show in syndication when I was a kid. And, you know, Gomer was involved, and Barney Fife, and Andy Taylor was the sheriff, and Aunt Mayberry, USA, right? Remember Opie? Yeah, he grew up, and now he's rich, right? Everybody, he's a great director. And so there's one episode that I remember about them was Andy Taylor, the sheriff, leaves town or something, and so Barney Fife is the deputy. He's in charge, and boy, doesn't he like to be in charge. Remember Barney? And he needs another deputy, so he hires Gomer, the gas station guy, Gomer Pyle, who would later become a Marine, right? Remember? And he hires him to be the deputy. Well, they're walking in this episode at night, patrolling the area, and all of a sudden they see the bank get broken into. They see a bunch of thieves going in there, breaking the bank. And so, as deputies do, they hide behind a car. Sounds just like Barney Fife, right? And they're hiding behind the car, and they're all afraid, and they don't know what to do. And Homer says, Shazam! Really, Shazam! We need to call the police! Good. See how it's good TV? And Barney, they're shaking, and Barney goes, he exclaims back, we are the police! Did I do a good Barney Fife imitation? Yeah, we are the police. We are a royal priesthood. We're the royal priesthood today. You're the royal priest. There's not going to be anybody else coming. You got to show up when there's somebody that needs prayer at your house. You can send me a text at 3 in the morning, but usually you need to be the one that prays. At your workplace, I can come, but it's a lot better if you do it. Give me a good amen. And so you need to be showing up. You're an ambassador of the Most High. We have this Friday group that's called a serve group that we go to the adult daycare. And Miss Sonia is here on the third row with her family. And she's like the director of activity there. And she called us several months ago, said, would y'all come and do a Bible study? And Sophie Cochran led a team. I started going after the fact, after they had been there. And you know what I've discovered? That heaven is there. And you know what else is so cool about it? Every now and then I get the honor of speaking, but I don't need to speak. That's taken care of. They got preachers like Sophie Cochran. They got preachers like Estella. They got preachers like Gloria Martinez. And these ladies, they bring it. Even some of our guys have brought it there. Amen. Mike Montgomery's brought it. Amen. And so they preach. And I, you know what I do? I just go show up, and I'm with my brothers and sisters from the adult daycare. They look a little bit different than us. They act a little bit different sometimes, but those are my brothers. They can't come to church all the time like you can on Sunday morning because their ride, they get dropped off there Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. Our bus picks them up, and they get picked up at 5 a.m., 5 p.m. They're there all day. But when I, you know, Douglas is our, did you know Douglas can sing? Douglas Cochran plays a mean boombox. Sir Lant, man, he played, you know, he's a DJ, man. And he plays those tunes. And they sing, our worship leader like Chris Tomlin rises up, his blood ran red. And I'm singing with my brothers and sisters. And 9 times out of 10, I'll be up front with you. All those songs that they're singing, God meets me right there. And I feel Jesus more than I sometimes feel him at Living Faith Church. Not that it's bad here, but heaven just has a way of showing up at the adult day. And my leadership, I like it that my leadership is not needed there as a pastor. Because I can just go serve, and I can love on people, I can pray for them. But the word is given by another priest that day, another pastor that day. Because we're all called to serve, we're all called to do something today. You are an ambassador. One day, there'll be a hospital call made, and everyone can rise up at Living Faith. Oh, we got this covered, Pastor. You don't have to go. We'll go, amen. Because we have the same anointing. There's not less power than there is in me and you. God still has the same power resident in you. Do you recognize that today? You're an ambassador. You're a royal priesthood. Do you feel that? Yeah, I want you to. The third one is this. Man, the third one already? Hit your neighbor and say, this guy's good. He's almost finished. Is that the last fill in the blank? To God be praised, amen? You're really going to beat the Baptist. Just shut up and preach. You're saying, hurry. This past week, we watched the election results until very early the next morning, till Wednesday morning. And this is Nava right here because God messed with me. I stayed up real late until the early mornings because I wanted to see the concession and I wanted to see all the things that were taking place in our nation. The next morning, after I got like 5 hours of sleep or less, I woke up and I was tired. And then, you know what? I didn't have enough. I had to listen to talk radio as I drove around, as I did my assignment. I had to listen to what the pundits were saying and this and that. And I had to listen to someone else's opinion over and over. And you know when it finally struck me? God had this God moment. He said, have you had enough? This is me. Have you had enough already? You stayed up late. You listen to information all day on the radio about the stuff of this earth. When is the last time, Mario, that you stayed up that late for me praying? Until 2 in the morning. When is the last time that you stayed up that late reading your Bible, seeking my face that way, and so interested? When is the last time that you listened to me all day and didn't hear anything else but me, my voice today? And I had to repent, and I got messed with big time. And that's why I'm messing with you right now. Because I probably wasn't alone. And God is calling us today to say, you really don't represent yourself. You always represent Jesus. And it should be about Jesus. And our nation Imagine how fruitful your spiritual life and my spiritual life would have been if we would have stayed up interceding or praying or being a blessing or asking God. And I know some of y'all probably pray all night. You don't want to raise your hand right now, do you? Because you're so humble. Imagine if I would defend Jesus as much as I defended the candidate on Facebook or what you've done on the internet today. In 1 Peter 2:12, live in such a way among the pagans. That means among this earth. Because people are trying to find their way. And how they're going to find their way is evident. It says that though they will accuse you of doing wrong, that they will see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that He visits. We need to recognize that we are ambassadors and people aren't just listening to what we say, our post on our social media, or how we fight on Twitter. They're literally watching your actions. And one day, because they're watching your good deeds, very soon, they're going to say, wow, he really is generous. Wow, she really is forgiving. Wow, she really has a peace about her. Wow, he really is a man of conviction. He really is holy. No one's perfect. No one's arrived in this church. But God is still looking for people that are holy, that are set aside by their good deeds and actions. That He would. Are y'all okay to stay? Everyone say this with me. I still love Mario. Yesterday, we were with a family that we hadn't seen in many seasons. And they remember me actually decades now because of how long we've been in ministry. We began as youth pastors, and so we know this couple. They've matured, and they're getting older. They're getting more mature now. And so at the end of dinner, lunch, they walked with Irma and I, and they're a little bit older now. We're taking care of them, and they don't live in the city even. They live 3 hours away now. And they paused, and you could tell it was the lady and her husband really wanted to tell us something. And they said, would you, when we pass away, would you do our funeral? Would you make sure that you're there? Because you're really the only pastor that we really know like we know in our family. And I've been asked that before. It's a humbling, it's an honor. And I always tell them something like this, oh, you're going to be okay, and we still got a lot of living to do, and let's keep on it. I said, of course we're going to be there, but let's not even talk about that yet. We just ate a good meal, amen? Let's go ahead and march on. Do you know what that does to me when somebody tells me that? Because that hasn't been the first time. It makes me, it shakes me. In this fashion, I better be finishing strong, because you know how easily that I could get disqualified by doing something stupid in a moment? See, I want to finish strong not only for Jesus, but I want to finish strong for the people that I'm an example to that are counting on me to finish strong. And because, again, I keep getting messed with, I'm going to go ahead and mess with you. Students in this room, there are people that are looking at you because they know you go to Living Faith Church. And they know that you're a Christian, so to speak. And they're counting on you. They may not watch what they're saying. They're watching what you're saying because they want you to finish the school year strong. But they want you to finish high school. And can I go on with the older folks in this room? There are people watching you, your sons and daughters, that don't want you to be disqualified, dad, mom. And they want you to finish strong. You probably won't bury them. But somebody will be there, but you got to finish strong as the example. There is a testimony of a precious lady that's real mature in this room, and she talks about her dad like he's living, because he still is in her heart, about his example, about how he loved Jesus, about how he read his, because the man finished strong. Though he could not see, he still finished strong. Though he was in a wheelchair, he still finished strong. Do y'all understand that? His spirit was strong. And so must you finish strong, because there's sons and daughters counting on you. I'm counting on you to finish strong because I need you. Right, everybody? Yeah. And so Jesus said, you'll know them by the way that they vote. No, you'll know them by the way that they love. They love each other. And Jesus said that it's not how you vote, it's how you love. You represent Christ today. You are Christ's ambassador. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. Pastor, are you worried about the darkness that's in our land, about the things that are happening, about the protest? And maybe that much. See, I'm not worried because I know that God has a higher kingdom for us in the kingdom of this earth today. And it will pass away. And the good news is that there's something bigger that we're going towards. As God's people, we're aliens and foreigners just going through the land today. And God has a higher nation for us today. And this is just a stopgap for all of us in this room today. Amen. God was on the throne long before you were born. God was on the throne before the 2016 election. There's been other people that we've been worried about that have taken the White House seat even before you were born. Did you know that today? And here we are, still a nation today. Amen. And so, you call yourself a Christian. Yeah. Where are the goods? See, you can call yourself a duck, but do you fly? If you call yourself a Christian, then bring it. Be the person that lets Christ shine. You're Christ-like today. Amen. If persecution comes to the church, which it probably will, maybe in some form or fashion, it probably will make, I guarantee you, it'll make us a lot stronger. Because see, what happens is we get rooted into the things of God. We finally see what we are was what we are, and it proves us today. Everywhere persecution has hit throughout the centuries, even present time, because of people carrying the name of Jesus and lifting his name high, it makes us stronger today. It makes us more of the church that redeems today. God is not a Republican or Democrat. God takes over today. Amen. There's this final slide that I'll show you as we conclude and as we bring this thing in today. It's a famous nursery rhyme. And it's kind of haunting to me because of this guy that didn't get the help that he wanted. And I didn't like Humpty Dumpty, the nursery rhyme, when I was a child because you know why? He stayed broken. It wasn't like there was an old lady that lived in a shoe. She had so many kids, she didn't know what, you know. It wasn't one of those happy ones, right, everybody? And it was this Mr. Dumpty. Why don't we say it together? Y'all know the Bible. I mean, you know the nursery rhymes, right, everybody? Let's say it together on three. One, two, three, go. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses, all the king's men. Yeah. Humpty Dumpty's world was shattered in a moment, and it needed fixing. But I notice he doesn't go to his family. He doesn't go to his friends. He doesn't even go to his church. He goes to the White House because he asked the king to get involved. And the king is sympathetic to Humpty's needs, so he gets all the king's men. He gets the Congress involved. And the Congress can't help him. And so the tragedy of the nursery rhyme is this. When all is said and done and everybody tried to do what they could on this earth, Mr. Dumpty was still broken, shattered today. So here's my point. It's unfortunate that many believers are looking towards Air Force One and the passenger on Air Force One to make sure that their shatteredness becomes whole again. Are they expecting whoever resides in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue is going to come fix them? And that man or woman is not meant to fix them. Right? Are y'all with me still? Yeah. And so God does not wear a big red button that has an elephant on it that says Republican, or he doesn't wear a big blue button that has a donkey on it. God has his own button and God takes over. Right, everybody? Yeah, he has the lamb. Amen. And so if you walked into your voting booth and you were Republican, you should have voted Republican light. L-I-G-H-T. And if you were a Democrat and you walked into the voting booth this past week and you voted Democrat, you should have voted Democrat light. And what I mean by that is that you bring the light of God into a dark situation. You bring the light of God into a place that needs illumination. All around your life today, when you leave this room, you will be in darkness with people that need hope, that are groping, that are trying to find them. They may look happy on the outside, but they need some hope, and light brings it today. Amen. And that's why I say you don't represent the Democratic Party, the Republican Party. You represent the kingdom of God, the light of God in your life today. Right, everybody? And so because of that, we represent a different king, King Jesus. And let's give our king a mighty, mighty praise. King Jesus, we love you. You are our king, Lord. You are the one, God, that we ascribe to. We owe our allegiance to one man and one man only, and Jesus is that man today. Father, we bless you today as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. We pray. Thank you, Father. We thank you, God. Thank you for a chosen, holy nation, royal priesthood. Thank you for America, Lord. But I also thank you for Albania. I thank you for Australia. I even thank you for Antarctica, Lord. They're all under the name of Jesus. Every kingdom, God, upon this earth has become the kingdom of our God today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We owe our loyalty right now to the one that gave his life for us today. And that's true freedom that we give to people. Father, empower your church to be light in a very dark world. I pray that we don't run and hide or coward, Lord. We don't hide in fear. We don't panic. We don't get freaked out about what's coming, God. We thank you. Empower us, God, to live in these last days, that we represent you every single day. We wake up on mission. We finish on mission today. We know that we're called as ambassadors of Christ today. If you're in this room today and you want to live every day on mission, and you just were reminded of that, what you should be about as a follower of Jesus, as one that's empowered by Christ, and you want to live on mission, you want to do the mission of God, you want to be that royal priest, if that's you, I want to pray for a special prayer over your life today. Lift your hand right now. Not going to embarrass you. I'm going to note it. God bless the believers right now. Thank you, Father. I extend my hand over the believers that our hands are raised right now. Touch them, God. There's more to do. There's more to live for, God. We're still breathing, God. We're still here, God. We haven't gone home to get our reward yet, God. And so there's more to do on the face of the earth. And so in the name of Jesus, empower the believers as ambassadors today. God's ambassadors, chosen by you. Royal priesthood now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. They're not average, God. They're above average. You're doing the things of God today. They're selected of the Lord today. Thank you. As I continue to pray, this has been coming. As I continue to pray, this has been coming. And God has been dealing with you. And he's calling you home. He's saying, he wants you to say yes to him today. You've never said yes to Christ as your Savior. He's the only one that can save you. And you're saying how bad that you are. You're saying, no, I barely came in today. I know I was awful this past week. Yeah. So was everybody in this room. We're all sinners saved by grace. You think you invented sin? You knew how to sin. No one taught you. We didn't learn how to sin. We knew how to sin, even from our mother's womb, the Bible says. And all of us need a Savior. And you can't save yourself by being good, by doing the past, or remembering only the blood of Jesus. All the things that you've done were put on Christ and the cross. All the shame that has happened and all the things that you're ashamed of was put on Jesus. So you wouldn't have to be ashamed anymore. So you wouldn't have to be living in sin. And this is a day of your salvation today if you want to receive it today. God gives you a loving choice. He knocks at the door of your heart, but you got to open it today. And how we do it at Living Faith Church, I just ask you to simply lift your hand. I'll note that. I won't embarrass you. I won't call you up front. I won't make you stand. But I'll say, would you just lift your hand and say yes to Jesus? You're far away from God, or you need to say yes to Christ. Young man, I see your hand. You can put it down. Someone else? Yes, sir. God bless you. Dad, I see your hand. You can put it down. God bless you. I see your hand. Someone else? Yes, son, I see your hand. I know you meant it. Four people. Anyone else? You're not alone. We're all sinners saved by grace. Someone else, just making sure. God bless you, mijo. You're making sure. Yes. God. Yeah. Amen. Six. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. For all that raise their hand, we mean this right now. From the youngest to the most mature person that raised their hand, we're going to pray it loud enough that we hear it in our own ear. You pray it loud enough that you can hear it. And the sinners that are saved by grace, we're going to join you. We know what a great Savior that He is, and He's going to be great to you. He's going to be your best friend today. Let's pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, redeem me right now. I need your blood, Jesus. You were murdered on the cross for me. All my sins were put on you, Jesus. All my shame, all my weakness. Save me, Jesus. Right now, all the insecurity, come on. It's all on the blood right now. Yeah. Yes, Lord, save me. Make me whole now, Lord. Redeem my past, my present, my future. Thank you, Lord. I'm a new creation. Now fill your people with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Let a fresh anointing, a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, afresh. Breathe on me, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Ask God to do a great work in your life today. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. There were about 6 people that raised your hand. Amen.